Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Zvachim, daf Tzadi Gimel. We left off in daf Tzadi Beis, and Beis, we are about halfway down the page. Last word online is Ba'i, at Ba'i Rabbi Yavin. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Ali and Lishmas's mother, called about Simcha Leah Shalom, the Neshama Shalav and Aliyah. We thank him for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi. So first, we're going to start off with two different shaylas about the blood of a Chatos Ha'of. That's not really the topic of our sugi over here. The topic of our sugya more broadly is about kibbutz begadim, which dam chatas of is not subject to kibbutz begadim. There's another sponsorship. Okay, it is sponsored by, or daf is also sponsored by Mendy and Hindi Yudin, Lezecher Nishmas, Mendy's grandmother, Mrs. Lillian Yudin, Leah Bas Avram Chaim, whose yard site is today, the Nesham Shav Neliah. We thank Mendy and Hindi as well for the sponsorship. So again, even though we're talking about Kibbutz Begadim, and the Dam of a Chatas Ha'of does not require Kibbutz Begadim, the Gemara is going to discuss two different shailas related to the Dam of a Chatas Ha'of. Number one, if the Dam of Chatas Ha'of goes into the Heichal while still in the animal's neck, does it become pasul? And number two, if the dam of the Chatas Ha'of spills on the floor and you collect it in a Kli Shares, does it become pasul? Then the Gemara is going to return to our originally scheduled program and discuss about kibus of a dam behema, of a Chatas behema. And the Gemara is going to talk about, do you require kibus if the blood splatters not directly from the Kli Shares or from the Tzavra behema, but from one beged onto another beged? Then the Gemara is going to talk about, do we require kibbutz when the dam splatters onto a beged tameh? That's going to have a more complicated answer and a lengthy answer. And then right before the Mishnah, we're going to explain the machlokes tanoim, whether if you have dam that's currently pasul but had a shas hakosher, does that dam require kibbutz? The machlokes tanoim, we're going to explain each side in that machlokes tanoim. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to give us four more cases where dam does not require kibbutz, and the Gemara is going to explain where that comes from. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to teach us that blood only requires kibbutz if you initially were mekadesh a full shir haza'a in a kli. But let's say you caught in a kli shares pachos mikashir, and another kli shares pachos mikashir, and then you combine the two together in one kli, so now you have a full shir in one kli, such dam would not require kibbutz. And then the last sugya prior to the Mishnah on Beis is going to discuss the blood that remains on the Kohen's finger after doing Hazaa, and how that blood becomes pasul. So if he did the Hazaa and there's still some blood on his finger, before he dips his finger again, he's got to wipe off that blood from his finger, because the blood that's remaining on his finger is considered to be pasul. And that's going to bring us all the way to the Mishnah. We're probably not going to get further than that. So let's begin again. We are holding right in the middle of the page on Daf Tzadi Beis and Beis by Rabbi Yavin. So again, two shailas. First, we're going to have about Chatas Ha'of. By Rabbi Yavin, Chatas Ha'of, Shehichnes Dama B'Tzavara. If let's say, Bifnim Mahu, if let's say you have a Chatas Ha'of where the dam was still in the neck of the animal, and then it was, and while it was still in the neck of the animal, it went into the Heichal, so is it going to be Kashul Lizrika or not Kashul Lizrika? The halacha is, normally, if dam Chatas Ha'of is brought into the Heichal, it becomes possible, but maybe that's only if it's in a kli and it's brought into the Eichel. But if it's still in the Tzavar HaBehema, it's not going to be possible. So Tzavar HaKli Shares Dami Umifsil. Do we assume that the Tzavar HaBehema is just like a Kli Shares and therefore becomes possible as Rika? Or Dilma Tzavar Behema? Or maybe it has a din it would have the same status of blood in the neck of a Behema that's a Chatas, where if it goes into the Eichel after the Shechita, before you ever Makabel the dam in the kli, and then you bring it back out into the azara, and then you makabel the dam, it would not become pasul, because it midama amrachmana velo besara. That the pasuk says that only midama shel chatos that you bring into the oval moed would become pasul. But if you actually just bring the chatos into the oval moed, it does not become pasul. So do we say the same thing about a chatos ha'of? Now, why would it be different by a behema than by an oaf? Because by a behema, you catch the dam in a kli shares. That's what you're supposed to do with the dam. And prior to catching the dam in a kli shares, it's not really dam that's roi lizrika. Whereas by a chatas ha'of, you don't catch it in a kli shares. It goes straight from the neck of the animal onto the mizbeach. So do we consider the neck of the animal as if it is a kli shares? That's the shaila. So Tashmas, it says, well, let's bring a raya. We have a brisa that says as follows. Pirkasav and Nichlas Alifnim V'chazra K'sheira. If let's say the Chatas Ha'ov starts jumping around after you shecht it and it goes into the Heichal and then it comes back out into the Azara, it's still kosher, you can still be Zorik the Dam. So the Gemara is Medayik from the fact that it says that it's kosher when it went in on its own into the Heichal. Ha'hichnisa P'sula, doesn't that imply that if the Kohen brought it into the Heichal, that it would be Pasul? Because the Pasuk says, Asher Yuva Midama Elohim Ma'il Chaper B'Kodesh. So it sounds from the Pasuk that a Chatas becomes Pasul only if the Kohen brings it into the Heichal, having in mind to be Mechaper B'Kodesh, but not when it goes in on its own, where there was no Kavana L'Chaper B'Kodesh. But you see from the Braisa that the neck of the animal is considered like a Kli Sharis, and if the Kohen therefore brings the oaf into the Heichal, the Dam becomes Pasul Izrika, even though the Dam is still in the Tzavar Ha'of. So says Gemara of the Taimech, if that's the diuk you want to make, meaning it didn't really say that. It didn't say if the Kohen brings it in, it's Pasul. It just said that if it jumps in on its own, that it's kosher. You want it to be medayik. Oh, that implies that if the Kohen brings it in, that it's Pasul. But by that same token, how are you going to make the diuk in the next halacha? Kabe kache kachim, when it talks about karbanos that are kache kachim and asha mechatas and ola, de katani, where it says about them, pirkis of yatzal ledarom, that if you have kache kachim, that after you shecht it, they jump and they go to the southern half of the Azara. Kache kachim are supposed to be in the northern part of the Azara. They jump out and they go to the southern part of the Azara, v'chazra, and then they come back to the northern part of the Azara, k'sheira. They do not have a psul yotze. Psul yotze, even by kache kachim, is only if it leaves the Azara entirely. It's just that you're supposed to do the shechita and the avodah sadam in the northern part of the Azara, but there's no psul yotze when it goes to the southern part of the Azara. So do you want to make a similar diuk? Ha-hotzia psula? You're going to make a similar diuk that, yeah, if it goes on its own to the southern part of the Azara, it's going to be kosher, but if you yourself bring it there, it's going to be pasul? That can't be true, because there is no iser to bring it into the southern half of the Azara. Ella, so why does it say a case of it going on its own if it's not to be medayik, that it would be that would be different if you brought it there? The only reason it gives a case of being brought on its own is because the Braisa goes on to say that if the behema on its own goes outside of the Azara, it becomes pasul. Oh, so that's why he wanted to tell me a case of it going on its own. Because if it would have told me if I bring it outside of the Azara, it's pasul, I would have thought, yeah, but if it goes on its own outside of the Azara, it's kosher. So it wants to tell me a case where the biggest chiddush, that even if on its own it leaves the Azara entirely, it's going to be pasul. So it's not there for us to be medayek in the case where it just goes to the southern part of the Azara, nor for us to be medayik if a chatas oaf jumps further in into the heichal. It's not there for us to be medayik such a thing. So achanami yatzal luchutz it's shrichalei. So over here also, the Tana talks about it going out on its own, agav the din, that it wants to teach me about going outside of the Azara entirely, where the greater chiddush is when it goes out on its own. So in the Braisa that we're quoting as well, do not be medayik that only if the chatas goes on its own into the Heichal, it will remain kosher, but if you bring it, it's going to be pasul. No such diuk. Even if you bring it into the Heichal, it might remain kosher. So we have not been poshet this suffix. So the first shaila was, if a chatas of, if you bring the chatas of into the Heichal with the dam still in its neck, is that going to pasul the dam or not? And the answer is we don't know. Next shaila, Boy Rabbi Yavin, Nishbach al Ritzba, what about the dam spilling from the chatas ha'of onto the floor of the Azara, va'asafa, and then you gather it up into a kli shares, mahu, are you allowed to then still be zorek that dam on the mizbeach? If the same thing were to happen by a behema, if the dam were to go from the neck of the behema and land on the floor of the Azara, it would become pasul lahaza'a. If it were to go from the neck of a behema into a kli shares and then spill onto the floor of the Azara, it would be kashu, you'd be able to catch it back, to gather it back up, and it would be kosher laza because it was caught in a kli shares already, so it's rotwi laza. Our shaila is, what about a chatas of where there is no kli shares? Do we view the neck of the behema like a kli shares, and therefore you can gather it back up, or do we say no, it never went into kli, it went straight from the neck to the floor, and it's pasul. Do we assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just did not require a kli shares for a chatas of? Of, because the neck itself is like the Kli Sharis, and therefore Hilkach Osvo Kasher, and therefore you can gather it up, it's still Kasher because it's like a Kli Sharis. Odilma Mifsal Pasal Be'Rachman a Kli Sharis. Or maybe no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Pasals Dam Chatos Of, that was Niskabel in the Kli Sharis, and he says you just have to put it straight on the Mizbeach from the neck of the animal. So Kolshkin, when it goes on the floor, it's going to be Pasal. Even in a Kli Sharis, it's going to be Pasal. So Hilkach Osvo Pasal, and therefore when you gather it up, it's going to be pasul. So Amarava Tashmel, let's try to bring a raya. Yachol Yedam Chatas Ov Ton Kibus. I might have thought that there's a din of Kibus Begadim by Chatas Ov Tamul Omer Zos. That's why I have a miut of Zos, that only by Behema and not by Ov. But Vistal Gadaituch Mifsal Pasul Berachmana, if you're going to think that a Kodesh Baruch Hu pasuls Dam Chatas Ov, that's in a Kli Shares. So Kolshkein, that if it's in a regular Kli, it's going to become pasul. Meaning if Dam Chatas Ov goes into a Kli Shares, would be possible for use. So certainly if it goes into any other kli, it would be possible for use. And keep in mind, a beged is a kli. So if it were to get into a beged, it would become possible. Now, in order to possible dam chatas of in a kli, like in a beged, it doesn't actually need to be in the kli. As soon as it enters the airspace of the kli, avir kli is kikli. That would already be enough to possible it. So it would already become possible at that point. So why do I need a miut of zos to tell me that the chatas ha'of does not require kibus begadim if any time chatas ha'of goes into a kli, or even in the airspace of a kli, it's already going to become pasul. And dam pasul doesn't require kibus begadim. So typically, in order for the dam chatas ha'of to get into a beged, it must have first been in the airspace of that beged. Second, it enters the airspace of that beged, it's pasul. Once it's pasul, of course it doesn't require kibus. So why do I need a mute in the pasuk to tell me that dam chatas ha'of doesn't require kibus? If any time it goes into the airspace of a kli, it's already going to be going to become pasul. So from the fact that we learn that dam chatas ha'of that splashes on the beged does not require kibus from a pasuk, that tells me that dam chatas ha'of that's niskabel in a kli is going to be kosher. That it did not already become pasul from the moment it went into the airspace of the kli. So I'm Rav Huna Ben Yeshua. Rav Huna Ben Yeshua said, "Nah, that's not a raya." Maybe it never had the airspace of a kli, because maybe you put the neck directly against the kli, so it never was in the airspace above the kli. And therefore, the Brisa needed to tell me that from the word zos, that even in such a case, it does not require kibbles because it's a chatas ha'of. But otherwise, it would have, because it had not become pasul prior to getting into that beged. Okay, so that concludes our discussion of chatas ha'of, which is not our topic. Now we come back to our topic of kibus begadim, which relates to chatas behema. So by mine Levi, nitas mi beged the beged mahu. What if dam splatters from one beged and then it goes on to a second beged? Mi beged kama itchile le kibus odilma lo. Do we assume that from the moment it went into the first beged, came out of the first beged, it was no longer subject to kibus, because from the time it touched the first beged, it had already become pasul when it touched the first beged? So pasul dam does not require kibus. So now when it hits the second beged, it does not require kibus? Or do we assume no, that it's like, just like dam that comes straight from a kli sharis on the floor of the azara, that the kohen could gather it up and sprinkle it? So too, when you gather it from the beged, you can and it goes on to another beged, it's still considered kosher dam. Amrle zo she'ela, this is a really good shaila. Ton kibus mimanavshach, and I'll tell you the answer is that it's going to require kibus mimanavshach, because e osvo, if you're going to say that when a kohen gathers the dam from the beged rishon v'kasher, and the dam is going to be kasher, it's still valid hakasher. Well, then it's kasher. I mean, if you hold that you could take it out of the first beged, it would still be valid. So then it's kasher adam going in the second beged. So of course it requires kibus. V'osvo pasul. And if you hold that the dam is not going to be ro'i la'za'a, and the kohen cannot gather it from the first beged and then still use it on the mizbeach, so then the second beged should not require kibus. But anak Rabbi Akiva sfirli da amar ha'isalo shasa kosher v'nifsala da matan kibus. That any dam that even once was kosher, even if it subsequently became pasul, is going to require kibus when it goes on to a beged. So the dam in the second beged requires kibus anyway, because even if it was nidche from hazaa after going into the first beged, but initially it was niskabel in a kli shares and it was roi la'za, and therefore it's going to require kibus mimanavshach. Now the more complicated question. question. Not a complicated question, but a complicated answer. What if dam splashed onto a tame beged? What's the din of that dam? Do we assume that since it became tame from the beged itself, and therefore is not roy to be used on the mizbeach, it's the same as if it had become tame prior to touching the beged, and therefore does not require a kibbutz? Or do we say that since prior to touching the beged, it was kosher, only when it actually hit this beged, it became pasul, so it does require kibbutz, because it was the type of dam that requires kibbutz up until the very moment it hit this beged. So that's the shayla. If it splattered on a beged, that the beged itself was metame the dam, does such dam require kibbutz? So Amar Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua Midikami Baile Hachi, from the fact that Rami Bar Chama had this safek, and he did not discuss a case where it became tame prior to touching the beged, it sounds like he holds it's a given that had the dam become tame prior to touching the beged, then it would not require kibbutz, because that's dam pasul. So Shema Mina Haisla Shasakosha Benifsula Ein Damato and Kibbutz. Sounds like he holds that even though the dam was once kosher but became tame prior to touching the beged, that it would not require kibbutz. Because Hani Mili Bizachazah Av Basa Chaslo Odil Maloshna. And therefore, as Shaila is, even though dam that's tame prior does not require kibbutz, so the Shaila is, what about dam that becomes tame as it hits the beged? Is that the same as becoming tame prior to hitting the beged, or is it not the same? And therefore, it's considered like it was kosher beforehand, and therefore will require kibbutz. So Amar Lei, so he responded, the answer to your question is an understanding of machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and the Rabbanan, the way Rabbah understands it, the way Abaye teaches it up. Okay, so what on earth does that mean? What's the machlokas? What's Rabbah? Who's Abaye? What happened over here? So the Gemara explains. Did Tanya? We have a brisa. Rabbi Lazar Omer. Rabbi Lazar is Rabbi Lazar ben Shmuel. Rabbi Lazar says mechatos shenitmu mitarin. If you have mechatos, the paraduma waters that become tame, they are mitaher. They have the capacity to be mitaher. Sharinida mazin aleha. And you know how I know that mechatos that itself is tame still has the capacity to be mitaher from tumas mace? Because if you have a woman who's a nida, who's also a tame mace, we do not make her be mitaher from her nida before we sprinkle the mechatos on her. So we'll sprinkle the mechatos on her to be mitaher from tumas mace, and then she'll go to the mikveh once for it to cover both her nida and her tumas meis, meaning the tumas meis process requires hazar from mechatos and also go to the mikveh. So when she goes to the mikveh, that's mitar from everything. But wait a second, that mechatos, the second it touched her, became tameh because she was a nida. So you see that the mechatos, even though it's tameh because it hit the nida, still has the capacity to be mitar. Va'amar Rabba, and Rabba comments that Rabbi Lazar b'shitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbo Amara, that Rabbo who holds who brings a raya from mechatos on a nida about to a case of mechatos that became tame prior to hazaa, I mean, he assumes that those are the same thing, right? Rabbi Lazar had said in this brisa that you know how I know that if the mechatos becomes tame, you could still use it to be metayer, because after all, if you use the mechatos on a nida, it works. So he thinks those are the same, mechatos becoming tame prior to being used, and mechatos becoming tame as it was being used. He holds that the same thing. So he's following the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, his Rabbi, that Da Amar Havaras Kli Al Gabi Makum Tame Kimunach Tami, who holds that passing a Kli with mechatos in it over a tumah passels the mayim, even though it didn't yet touch the tumah. It's as if it was resting on the tumah. So therefore, Rabbi Lazar had a good raya for bringing maza mechatos on a nida, because it really becomes tameh prior to it being metayer the nida, because it becomes tameh as soon as it's in the airspace above the nida. So it became tameh before it actually hit the nida, and that's why you could bring that as a good raya to mechatos that becomes tameh prior to its usage. Ditnan, where does Rabbi Akiva get this idea from? So the Mishnah says in Maseches Paro, or how do I know Rabbi Akiva holds this idea, that when it's in the airspace, it's already going to become Tamei? There's a Mishnah Maseches Paro that if you have a jug of Mechatas in a cubby in the wall, and there's a tanner, there's an oven in between you and the wall where that Mechatas is, Hayomid Chutz L'Tanur, so you're on the other side of the Tanur, so in between you and the wall where the Mechatas is, there is a Tanur, V'sheretz B'Tanur, and the Tanur is a Kli Cheres that's open at the top, and there's a Sheretz inside of that Tanur, V'hoshid Yadol L'Chalon V'Natal Salagin. So you reach over to the cubby in the wall, to the hole in the wall, you grab the Mechatas and you bring it toward yourself, V'Viro Al Pi Tanur, and you pass it over the opening of the Tanur, Rabbi Kiva Metameh. Rabbi Kiva says that Mechatas became Tameh. But you never put it down into the Kli Cheres. You never, no, but it hovered in the airspace above the Kli Cheres. That's enough to be Metameh. The Chum Metaren and the Chum Seyitar, Uba HaPligi, and what is this Machlokes? Rabbi Kiva Sar Kumunachtami, Rabban Savri Lav Kumunachtami. Rabbi Kiva holds even hovering in the airspace is as if it's there. It's as if it's placed down. And the Rabbanans say, no, it's not as if it's placed down. So Rabbi Lazar is following his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, that being in the airspace is already Tameh, and therefore he says, when the Mechatas is hovering in the airspace above the Nida, it had already become Tameh, and then when it hits the Nida, it still has the capacity to be Metaher Her. So too, any other Mechatas that had previously become Tameh can still be Metaher, and could still be used to be Metaher. So Veisvei Abaye asked on this explanation of the Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan, Moda Rabbi Akiva. The Braisa says that Rabbi Akiva's moda, that even though he disagrees with the Chum and he holds Mechatas that's in a Kli that goes over the airspace of a Tanur with a Sheretz in it, is going to be Tamei, but he would agree, Ba'azo'a She'evira Al-Gabi Kli Cheres, Tamei, Al-Gabi Mishkov Moshev Tamei, She'i Tahora. He holds that if you actually sprinkle the Mechatas, and in the air, as the Mechatas is flying in the air, it goes over something that's Tamei, it does not become Tameh. She'in l'cha davar she'metameh l'mayla k'lamata, because the only things that will be metameh things above it are el k'zayis min ha'meis v'shar kol ma'ahilin, are things that have tumas ohel. A sheretz doesn't have tumas ohel. So we have a dead body. There's such thing as tumas ohel. So you have an amenuga'as. Kol ma'ahilin would include an even that has negat saras on it. That's also metameh things that go above it. But Rabbi Kiva holds, tumah doesn't go like that. The tumah of a sheretz in an oven is not metame in its airspace above. So how can you tie up Rabbi Akiva saying that the reason when you take the kli from the cubby and you pass it over the tanur that it becomes tame is because anything in the airspace above the oven is going to become tame? Not true. If you were to sprinkle the mechatas and the mechatas is flying in the air above that oven, it would not become tame. So why does Rabbi Akiva hold that there's a problem with the mechatas when it's in a kli and you bring it over the airspace of the oven? Everyone holds that when it's in the airspace above the oven, it's not as if it's placed in the oven. Why does Rabbi Kiva have a problem with it? Rabbi Kiva suffer gazrinon shema yanuach. Not a din that there's tumah over here. That it's a gzeira mitarabanan, that if I'm going to take a kli with mechatas in it and I'm going to pass it right over an oven that has a sheretz in it, he makes a gzera, I might put it down in that oven, and therefore even just passing it over the opening of the oven, because tumah midrabanan. Rabbanan savri lo gazrinan. The Rabbanan say we make no such gzera. But mod Rabbi Akiva ba'aza kiven denafak nafak. And that's why Rabbi Akiva would say that if it's flying through the airspace, I already sprinkled it, and it's flying through the airspace over the oven, it's not going to be tumah because there's no gzera. What kind of gzera that I might put it down? It's out of my hands already. I sprinkled it. It's flying. I can't put it down anymore. So there's no room for such a gezeira. And that's why Rabbi Akiva thinks in such a case it would not become Tameh. So the Gemara explains, and therefore other tumas being Tameh ba'aviv Rabbi Lazar v'rabban k'may k'miflugi. Rabbi Lazar, who thinks he has a raya, that mechatas that became Tameh prior to being used can still be metaher, and he brings a raya from a nida, from the fact that mechatos works on a nida. So what's it based on? If it's not based on the fact that mechatos becomes tame in the airspace above tama, because that's not true anymore, we just showed that that's not true. Mechatos does not become tame in the airspace above tama. So why does Reb Elazar think that you can bring a raya from the fact that mechatos works on a nida? Why does he think that that's a good raya, that mechatos that becomes tameh can still be used? And why did the Rabbanan disagree? So Amar Abaye, what they're arguing about is bedam tuma keduma mituma shabel sasha kamifli. Rav Elazar and the Rabbanan are arguing, can we learn a halacha about tuma that happened prior to tuma that happens bebasachas? So Mar Savar Danin, Rav Elazar says it's the same thing. And therefore, certainly when I sprinkle mechatos on a nida, when it actually hits the nida, it becomes tameh. So Rav Elazar says, yeah, and from the fact that that works, and it to be matar her from Tumas Meis, so had it become tame prior to touching the Nida, to touching the person, it would also work to be matar from Tumas Meis. Umar Savarein Danin, but the Rabbanan say, no, those are different things. If it becomes tame first, you can't now use it to be mitar a person. But if it becomes tame as bebas achas, then it could be mitar a person. So as far as Rami Bar Chama's shayla, his original shayla, if dam that sprinkles on a beget tame requires kibus, so Rav Chista is saying, according to Abaye, that that's a machlokes, Rav Blazer and the Rabbanan. That according to Rav Blazer, tuma in the moment has the same din as tuma prior, and there's no chiluk between them. So when it comes to kibus of dam chatas, the dam will not require kibus. Because dam that becomes tame when it touches the beged, according to Rabbi Elazar, would have the same status as dam that became tame prior to touching the beged. And dam that was tame prior to touching the beged does not require kibbutz. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no, that's not the same. Dam that becomes tame prior to touching the beged, that's tame, that's possible, that's not going to require kibbutz. But dam that only become tame as it touched the beged will require kibbutz. So Rava Amar Rava says, no, the kuli alma ain't done it. No one would think that dam that becomes tame prior is the same that dam that becomes tame in the moment. The real machlokes Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan is about this. So Rabbi Elazar savra za'a tzri chashir. Rabbi Elazar holds that to do the sprinkling of the mechatos, you need a proper shear of hazaa, and if you didn't have the proper shear, it does not become it does not become tahar from its tumah. Umitzar from hazaos, and if you do hazaa of pachus mikashir, you could still be maza a little more and be mashlim the shear. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar derives from hazaa on a nida that it must be that hazaa of mayim tameim still works. Why? How does he derive that? Because you're initially mazeh a little bit, pachos mikashir, on the nida. And at that moment, that which you were mazeh had become tameh. And then you're mazeh a little bit more, and now it's mitzarif and it's mitayer. But apparently, even the stuff that you were originally mazeh on her, which was pachos mikashir and had become tameh, is now mitzarif to be mitayer. So it had become tameh prior to it being useful. It became tameh, the first little pachos mikashir that hit her had become tameh. And the Rabbanan say, no, there is no shir hazaa. So whatever you sprinkled on the nida immediately was metarer from Tumas Meis. So it's all bebas achas. Nothing happened prior. And that's the real machlokas from Lazar and the Rabbanan. Okay, so that's the complicated sugya. Chatas psula. So now we have chatas psula. We said that the dam does not require kibbutz if the korban was pasul, whether it ever had a shasa kosher or whether it never had a shasa kosher, whether it was ever kosher for hazaa or not. So Tan Rabbanan, we have a bright. Midama, midam kshera, velo, midam psula, that we darshan from a pasuk, that when do you require kibbutz begadim? If the dam that went on the beged was from a kosher karban, not from a pasul karban. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. And he says, haisala shasa kosher v'nifsala damatovim kibbutz. If it was ever kosher, even though right now it's not kosher, even though right now the dam became pasul, such dam still requires kibbutz. Lo ay salashasa kosher v'nifsala. If it was never kosher adam and became pasul, meaning it became pasul before you were ever makabel the dam in a kli sharis, for example, then ein damaton kibus. And such dam does not require kibus. Rabbi Shimon omer echad zeh ve'echad zeh ein damaton kibus. Rabbi Shimon says, I don't care if it ever had a shasa kosher. Right now it's pasul, so then it doesn't require kibus, as long as it's pasul right now. So my time is Rabbi Shimon. Why does he think that even if it had a shasa kosher, it does not require kibus? Because ksiv osa, uksiv midama, there are two mi'utim in the pasuk, the word osa, which sounds osa, but nothing else, and midama, and nothing else. So chad lehechadai shelo shasa kosher. One is telling me that even if it had a shasa kosher, it's still not going to require kibbutz. V'chad lehechadai shelo shasa kosher. And the other is telling me that if it didn't have a shasa kosher, it's not going to require kibbutz. V'Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva would respond, no, those two mi'utim are not about the same thing. Osa, prat l'truma, that osa, that it says is not used about the din of kibbutz. It's about the din of mariko shtifa, that a kli that you cook truma that you cook truma in does not require mariko shtifa. Rabbi Shimon and Litamei, and Rabbi Shimon is l'shitaso, he doesn't need osa to tell me a kli that cooked truma does not require mariko shtifa. Damar kachim kalim into mariko shtifa kolshkein truma, because Rabbi Shimon holds even kachim kalim doesn't require mariko shtifa. So all the more so truma is not going to require mariko shtifa. I don't need a pasuk for that, and therefore both the pasuk of osa and the pasuk of midama are there to tell me that dam that is pasul does not require kibus. Why do I need two pasukim? One to tell me dam that has always been pasul, and one to tell me dam that had a shasa kosher and is now pasul that it does not require kibus. So that's the explanation of the machlokas Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon. New Mishnah, four more cases of dam that do not require kibus. Nitas minat savar ala beged. Let's say the dam did not go from the kli shares onto the beged, but straight from the neck of the animal onto the beged. Eino ton kibus. It does not require kibus bugadim. Min hakeren or min hayisod. If it goes from the keren, meaning you already did the azas adam on the keren of the mizbech, and from the keren it splatters onto a beged, or you already were nitas the dam on the, you already did the nisinas adam on the kranos of mizbech, and the shiare adam went down into the yisod, and from the yisod, it went on to a beged. Ain't ton kibus. It would not require kibus. And finally, fourth case, nishbach ala ritzpa va'asafo ain't ton kibus. If the dam, after you shechted it, before you were ever makabel in a klit shares, spilled on the floor, and you gathered it up, and then it hit a beged, it does not require a kibbutz. Ein ton kibbutz, ella dam she niskabel b'kli, v'roi laza. The only time you need kibbutz begadim is if the dam was niskabel in a klit shares, and it was roi laza, and then it splattered on a beged, only then does the beged require a kibbutz. So Tanu Rabban, we have a braisa that elaborates on our Mishnah. Yochel nitas min atzavar ala beged, ein ton kibbutz. I might think that if it goes from the neck of the animal onto a beged, it requires kibus. That only dam that's roi laza requires kibus, as opposed to if it went straight from the neck of the animal, it was never roi laza, because you never got it into a kli shares. Tanya yidach, we have another brisa. Yachal nitas min hakeren min hayisod yeton kibus. I might have thought that dam that has already been sprinkled on the mizbeach, and then it splatters onto a beged, that it requires kibus. Tamalomar asher yizah prat that it says Asheiza, dam that is destined to have Hazah on the Mizbeach requires kibbutz, but dam that already had its Hazah on the Mizbeach does not require kibbutz. And then the last case in our Mishnah was Nishbach al Ritzba, that if it fell on the floor, it spilled on the floor from the neck of the animal, and then you gather it up, it does not require, and then it hits a beged, it does not require kibbutz. Well, Hasu Lamali, why does the Mishnah have to tell me that dam requires kibbutz only if it's niskabel b'kli? It already says if it spills on the floor, it does not require kibbutz. And the reason is because it was not niskabel b'kli. So what's that last line of the Mishnah? That it only requires kibbutz if it's niskabel b'kli, v'roi laza. I already know that it's only if it's niskabel b'kli. So it says Gemara, the last line's not a chiddush, it's an explanation. Ma tam ka'amar. The last line is explaining the halacha, the previous halacha. Ma tam nishbech ala ritzpa v'asafo. Why is it that if it spills on the floor straight from the neck of the animal, and you gather it up, and then it goes into the beged, that ain't totem kibbutz, and it does not require kibbutz. Because you only require kibbutz if it was a dam that was already in the skabel in a kli and is ro'i to be used for hazaya. Okay, so ro'i la'za'a, the Mishnah had said dam requires kibbutz only if it's ro'i la'za'a. So ask the Gemara, why do you have to mention that it's ro'i la'za'a? You already said that the dam requires kibbutz only if it's in the skabel b'kli. So if it's in the skabel b'kli, memela it's ro'i la'za'a. So lemute mai, what are you trying to be memait with the words ro'i la'za'a? Lemute kibbutz pachs mikdei hazaya b'kli zel. What it's coming to tell me is, if I catch less than a shir haza'a in one klisha race, and then less than a shir haza'a in another klisha race, and then I mix them both together, and then it goes on to a beged, that beged would not require kibbutz. Even though all the dam went into a klisha race, it went from a klisha race onto the beged, but since I got less than a shir haza'a in each klisha race initially, even though I subsequently combined them, and it goes on to a beged, it would not require kibbutz. Ditanya, because we have a bright side, talks about the kiddush of the mechatos of the paraduma waters to be mitar to memesim, where it says Rabbi Chalafta Bar Shaul Omer kidesh pachos mikdei azoy b'kli zeh. Let's say you're mekadesh the mechatos in less than a shear in one kli, upachos mikdei azoy b'kli zeh, and less than a shear in another kli, and then you're mitzarif them together, you combine them together, so now you have a full shear azah lo kidesh. The mayim is not able to be mitar people from tumas meis. So vibay. And therefore they said, okay, that's a din by mechatos. What about by dam of a karban? That it, when you were makabalit in the klisharis, you didn't have a shir hazah. You were makabalit in the second klisharis, also less than a shir hazah. Do we assume that it's the same as the mechatos, that it does not become kadosh in such a way? So hilchasiyum hilchasalogarminon. On the one hand, maybe the din by mechatos is alach l'moshe misinai, and alach l'moshe misinai cannot be the basis for any limud. O dilma hasam. Maybe the reason over there by the mechatos by the paradumas is because it says v'tavol b'mayim. So from the fact that it says b'mayim and not b'mayim, we learn that you have to dip the ezov in mayim that we already mentioned, where there's already a kiddush of the mayim. And the pasuk is telling me that at the shas kiddush ha'mayim, you need to have the shir hazah already. That would be enough to dip the agudas ezov in. So achanami. So over here also, when it comes to the kabbalah sadam, ksiv. V'taval badam, and so from the fact that it says badam and not bidam, it sounds like it has to have the full shear initially. So Tashma says, "Well, I'll bring you a raya." Dam Rabbi Zreka, Rabbi Lazar. Af bidam lo kidesh, that by dam as well, we have the same din, that it's not mekadesh when you get pachos mikshir in this kli and pachos mikshir in that kli, and then you're mitzarif them. So Amrav Tanya, we have a brisa that it says by the par kohen Mashiach that the kohen dips his finger in the dam and he sprinkles seven times lefnei Hashem. So the pasuk says vitaval v'lo mesapek, that he's got to dip his finger in the dam. He can't like clean up the dam from the side of the kli or from the bottom of the kli to like you know. Pull it, it's got to dip into the liquid. Badam, achei badam, shir tevila meyikaro. And badam tells me that it has to have had the shir tevila setzba the whole time. Min adam shebeinyan. Because when it says min adam, seven times, that min adam, that he sprinkles from the dam, shevapamim. So we learn from there a third drasha, min adam shebeinyan. The Gemara is going to explain what that drasha is, but right now we're not supposed to understand that drasha. Our point is the second drasha over here, where it says, badam, that you need the shir tevila initially. So v'ischach l'michtav badam, and needs to tell me badam, that it's not enough to say v'taval, dikas v'rachman v'taval, because it only would have said v'taval, hava minafal pita leka shir tevila meyikaro. I would have thought that it's good enough to dip your finger in dam, even though initially you only caught pachos mikshir of dam in one kli, pachos mikshir of dam in another kli, and then you were mitzarif them. As long as right now I'm able to be tovel. So kas v'rachman badam, that's why it says badam, to tell me, no, you need a shir tevila meikara, and ikas rachmana badam. And if it only would have said badam, hava mina afilu mesapik, I would have thought, okay, yeah, as long as you had the shear of dam in the kli meikara, you can even just rub your finger against the wall of the kli to pull up some dam, that you don't have to actually be tovel your finger in the dam. So kas rachmana v'tovel, that's why I need v'tovel, because both of these are separate dinim. There's a din in how I get the dam onto my finger by dipping, and there's a din in how much dam needed to initially go into that kli that it needs to be the proper shear. So, but then with that third drasha was a little bit confusing. Then we had a third drasha, min adam shebe'inyan. What does that mean? Min adam shebe'inyan lemute mai. So amarava lemute shirayim ba'etzba. That it's coming to tell me that whatever's left on my finger, on the Kohen's finger, after he does that, is possible. So mesayel rablazer, drumel rablazer, shirayim shebe'etzba, psulin. The shirayim on the etzba are possible. Amri Rav Bara Adal Rav Amri Talmidach Amar Rav Amri Talmidach Amar Rav Amram, that your Talmidim told me that Rav Amram said Tanina, that we already learned in a Brisa Hayamazef, the Kohen was sprinkling the dam of the Chatos Apnimios Vinitza Azam Miyado, and some of the blood splattered from his finger onto a beged Ad Shelo Hiza, and if it's prior to when he did Hazaa Tom Kibus, that beged requires Kibus Misha Hiza, after he already did the Hazaa, the blood sprinkled onto a beged, ain't ton kibus, does not require kibus. My lav hachikamer achlo gomer milazos ton kibus, misha gomer lazos ain't ton kibus. Doesn't that mean until he prior to finishing the hazah, it requires kibus, but after he finished the hazah, it does not require kibus? So it sounds like whatever's left on his finger, it does not become puzzle, because prior to finishing the hazah, it still requires kibus. So lo hachikamer achlo yotz hazah miyado ton kibus, misha yotz hazah miyado ain't ton kibus. That if he dips his finger in the dam, well, the dam is still on his finger before he ever did anything with it. If it then hits a beged, that's going to require kibbutz. So, but once he did anything with it, all the dam is possible. Eisve Abaye, Gomer Milahazos, if he finishes being maze, Mekaneach Yodo Begufa Shel Para, he wipes his hand on the para itself. Gomer in Lo Gomer Lo, sounds like only when he finishes entirely. But in between sprinklings, he doesn't have to wipe his hand on the para because the dam is not possible. Amalei Gomer Mekaneach Yodo Begufa Shel Para, Lo Gomer Mekaneach Etzba'o. No, when he finishes, he wipes his whole hand. When he's still in between hazaos, he just cleans off the finger because that remaining blood is pasul. Bishlam a gomer mekaneach yadu begufa shel para shenamar v'sarvus apar le'enav ela etzba'o b'may mekaneach. What is he cleaning his finger on? So Amar Avayi b'sfas mizra k'dechziv kipari zav, just on the edge of the kli to get rid of that extra dam, because whatever extra dam remains on his finger is in fact pasul. Okay, Pesachim, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis. Hanukkah.